This podcast is brought to you by Most Valuable Podcasts, leading the league in podcasting entertainment.
Hello, NBA fans, and welcome to the Fast Break Podcast. My name is Ricky Widmer, and I'm joined, as I always am on the Fast Break, Dave Oster.
Hey there, guys.
And Dave, you kind of snickered there because it's been a while, Dave, since we've done a Fast Break. I got to make fun of you for it.
NBA offseason, that's all I have to say.
I think it's been 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Dave was just like, fuck this shit, I'm not showing up today.
Let's be honest, notable news in the NBA offseason.
Yeah, cricket sound, is that what you wanted?
That's
you wanted
about
me to
it.
Play the cricket
please
soundboard?
Do.
But
when we come back and edit this video, just drop some crickets.
Well, the thing that, I mean, we're going to get into hopefully sooner if Dave can show up to a podcast.
Wow.
We'll get into the divisional previews and we'll get ready for the NBA season. Yeah, we got till the end of October for that. But the opening night, which is the October 27th, here's our opening night games. This entire podcast is going to be, well, most of it will be discussing the just freshly released NBA schedule from this week. Here's what we got opening night.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit, Atlanta.
I mean, right there. There's 2 o'clock in the afternoon Thursday game, right?
I don't like it.
That gets you started.
I mean, you might be sitting there going, well, the Hawks are a good team. But then I drop down Cavaliers at Bulls.
Phenomenal setup. I mean,
Pelicans at Warriors for the ring ceremony.
So nice. I mean, I feel like the NBA dropped an egg on that. It's just like they had two great games,
a
and
nice
then they're
sunny
like,
side up egg
Atlanta,
in the pan.
You had a phenomenal year last year. Let's give you.
But why Detroit? Why Detroit?
I don't know. I don't understand the draw of Detroit. I don't know what to be hyped up about in that game. I mean, the Hawks are the ultimate, like, no superstar team. Detroit, they've got, you know, stuff.
They suck?
Yeah. We don't know. We'll find out this year. But, like, I feel like they've got potential. I don't think they're going to be, like, a top four seed.
I'll give you five teams. Five teams that I would have placed better. I mean, there's a ton. But five teams I would have replaced the Pistons with. You ready? Coming in at number five, Boston.
Interesting choice. Coming Boston is similar to situation to Detroit in the rebuilding.
Coming in at number four, Toronto.
Toronto's
best in
been
the
hot.
Atlantic.
Yep.
Number two, another Atlantic team, the Knicks, because of their offseason. Like, if you want a bad team from last year to play the Hawks, why not schedule them against the Knicks, who had the most, I want to say, controversial offseason just because of their fans.
Yeah, absolutely. That would definitely get some drama going.
The last two, Bucks and Wizards.
I mean, all of those games are great matchups.
I mean, could you imagine Jabari Parker coming? I'm assuming Jabari's going to be
healthy
again,
right.
I hope, for game one. Could you imagine Jabari coming back, playing the Hawks, or the top two teams in the Southeast, the Hawks and the Wizards, squaring up? Even a Heat-Hawk game.
Right?
Game one.
I would be excited for that.
D-Wade and Bosch, if he's healthy for game number one, going up against the Hawks. You have the Wizards and the Hawks.
There's so many better matchups.
You picked a team that was 32-50 and had no shot of even coming close.
But, you know,
the
they had
Conference
that heater.
Central.
They had that heater midseason after dropping some,
I guess,
some big, fat, lazy, under-talented contract.
But, I mean, the other two, look at Cavs Bulls.
Yeah.
You get LeBron, you get Derrick Rose.
You get Joakim Noah
get
talking
Joakim
shit
Noah.
About Cleveland.
I mean, that's the best part, Joakim. But the most important, maybe it's because we're Bulls fans.
Yeah.
We get to see Hoiberg and how he can coach this team night one of the season against the best team in
right.
the Eastern
so
Conference.
Right, so you get to see how LeBron coaches against Hoiberg.
Yeah, because Brad doesn't coach at all.
What? He's a guy? He's still around? No.
But how many timeouts will Black call when they don't have them? That's the biggest
thing.
I mean,
I think he'll be pretty safe about opening night. He knows not to put the hands close together. He'll have, like, flashbacks.
Here's the other thing. Warriors-Pelicans. Not the sexiest of matchups.
Well, you're looking at having one of the most popular players in the game right now, Steph Curry, going up against potentially the next guy to take over the league with
Anthony Davis.
I mean, they're already putting him like third behind LeBron James and Kevin Durant. So this is a guy with huge expectations And he's lived up to it every year, getting better and better. And then on the other side, you got Steph Curry coming off the championship win. Mm-hmm. You've got Klay Thompson. You've got this stacked roster in Golden State still. So I think there's a lot of love about that. Plus, I mean, let's be honest. You want Michael Jordan there opening night. I think that gives him a little notch.
I guess. I mean, the thing that, and this is why I say it's not the, for me, it's not the sexiest of matchups. Because, I mean, Anthony Davis is good. I like Anthony Davis. The Pelicans just squeaked their way into the eighth spot last year.
But they got better this offseason, actually.
They did. The only thing I'm thinking, and here's two teams that you could have either had these two play against each other and said, I'm sorry, Atlanta, Detroit, you play some other night.
Oh, my God, I wish.
Or
before you even announce the teams, I know who you're talking about, and I wish.
Or you have one of these teams play against Steph Curry in Golden State, get to see him. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Adam Silver, for giving me my ring. San Antonio, the team that just had the best offseason.
They just mic dropped the offseason.
Or James Harden and the Rockets.
I think the reason James Harden and the Rockets don't get it is because they had one of the slowest, least interesting basketball games that I can ever remember. Hack a Howard, where it was just like mind-numbing amount of free throws.
You just don't want that.
Zero momentum.
Night.
I mean, there's no energy in that game.
Or the Clippers.
The Clippers would be interesting, definitely.
I mean, just this is not the worst one. I would more so go for, why are the Hawks playing Detroit? Can we just move that aside and maybe have
two Western
Spurs Rockets or seriously, like Spurs Clippers? Or here's a lower one that I would appreciate. Could you imagine game one of the season, first game of the year before the other two, Clippers Mavericks at Dallas?
I mean, the spike game.
Yeah, really? I mean, come on. No, why couldn't
you do that? I feel like you're overlooking somebody here.
Go ahead.
I want Spurs Thunder.
I see.
I want to see Kevin Durant, healthy Westbrook, healthy Ibaka go up against
people.
Oh my God.
I thought about that, but I didn't want to.
Really?
I didn't want to bring out the Thunder because I'm like,
I love
okay,
the idea.
They weren't a playoff team last year.
Yeah, but they had half a roster.
But they get Kevin Durant back. That's why I should bring them up.
They got a healthy Westbrook. Everybody's well rested on the Spurs, mm-hmm. So Pop isn't going to sit anybody. We hope opening night sits for Pop. Like, only he would get away with that kind of crap.
I mean, anything to me is better than that abysmal, just Detroit Pistons at Atlanta Hawks. And that's nothing against the Hawks.
No,
I respect
the Hawks.
Atlanta fans, if you're listening, we're not bashing this game because of you.
We would keep you in it if...
You know what? Let's keep the Hawks. Let's have Spurs Hawks.
Get a little inter.
Or why not say, okay, Pelicans, you're out. Hawks move to play the Warriors. Then we get that Western Conference matchup and have like Hawks Warriors, the finals that could have happened to start the season.
Nah.
It's not the sexiest, but I mean, if you want to keep the Hawks on opening night...
Yeah.
Let's get a little bit later in the
season. Sorry, Detroit. Let's just apologize. Sorry, Detroit.
No, I'm not apologizing to Detroit. Have a better team, and then I'll respect you.
Okay. We'll wait and see.
We're going to move down a little bit.
All right.
We were in October. Now we're going to move to a special day for the NBA.
Yeah.
Christmas. Here's our matchups. Pelicans at Heat.
That'll be a good one.
That's another one like Pelicans at Warriors. Okay, cool. I can watch that game.
The Pelicans are the up and coming. The Heat are trying to hang on to their momentum, so we'll see where they're
at. And it's in Miami. Bulls Thunder.
Booyah.
Holy shit. If Derrick Rose is healthy and if Durant is healthy, holy shit. This is like the finals that
we wished for a couple years ago. Yeah.
Before Derrick Rose got injured. Then you have the finals rematch, Cavs Warriors. Spurs Rockets, thank you. Now you hit me with it.
Yep.
And then Clippers Lakers.
Yeah. So, okay, a couple thoughts right off the bat with the Chicago OKC. I'm going to hope everybody's healthy.
That's what I said.
The only downside.
Are they healthy?
The only downside is, like, there's no rivalry there. I'm sorry. Like, Westbrook and his shit talking about being the best point guard, fine, but there's not much else going on there.
You don't need a rivalry for that.
I feel like rivalry, and we talked about this previously about rivalry in the NBA kind of being lacking. I feel like the Cleveland Golden State game, great. You're doing a finals rematch. It'll be fun. There's a little bit of bad blood there, but not a ton. You know what? Honestly, I'd want to see some Dellavedova play going on.
I hate Dellavedova.
Some dirtiness going.
I hate Dellavedova.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Can't stand that, man.
But no, San Antonio, Houston, that should be a good one because they both have really fun styles. They've got really deep rosters. So that'll be fun. The one that I don't get is the Clippers-Lakers, because if you look at this on paper, it looks like a blowout. But you know they're going to play
blowing out the Lakers, you mean?
Yeah, but you know it won't play out that way. That's no. something I'm like.
Well, it depends. Is Kobe healthy? Like, I mean, is Kobe healthy? That's the reason I have to throw that out there, because, of course, Kobe had a season last year where he wasn't.
But giving the Lakers a Christmas Day game when they won 21 games last year?
Honestly, you know what I think this is? Hmm. Of course, Kobe did not Derek Jeter it and said, you know what, I'm going to wait till the end of the season to even think about whether or not I'm going to retire. This is the NBA saying, you know what, Kobe, you're probably going to retire. Here's your Derek Jeter-like gift for your final season. We will give you a Christmas Day game for your final season in the NBA. However, the bigger slap in the face is the end of the season, and I know this is going to happen in Brett Favre fashion, Kobe's going to say, fuck it, I can play again. I'm coming back.
Yeah.
And he's going to come back. He's not going to retire at the end of the season unless they win the finals.
Yeah, and that's not likely to happen.
No, it's not, but that's what's going to happen. And I'm looking at games.
That's this point game, because it's like there's better teams out there to play. I get there is a rivalry, I guess, between the Clippers and Lakers, same house. But I just don't know if it'll be competitive. That's the only concern.
See, and I'm trying to look right now. I'm looking at the schedule and I'm trying to see if there's matchups maybe the day before or the day after that we could kind of like slide into that matchup. And I'm not seeing anything sexier than LA versus LA. And I know that's kind of hard. I mean, unless you want to go with the day after.
What about let's
would Raptors Bucks be better for you, Dave, in Milwaukee?
Honestly, the Bucks aren't a sexy team, but they'll be an interesting one
or
to
like
watch.
Knicks Hawks.
Knicks Hawks. No, you're not selling me yet.
No. And then all the other ones that I'm looking at, I'm not mentioning because we already have those teams playing on Christmas.
Okay. So
or like Grizzlies Wizards. That happens.
See, I think that would be a competitive game.
The 23rd of December.
I like that game, actually. But it's not sexy enough. You're right. LA draws the biggest. So they're going to give it to them.
Unless you're going to do maybe like a. See, and here's another thing, another game that I would have thought about either for opening night or Christmas, Houston Denver.
Houston Denver.
Not necessarily for Christmas, but the Kings in Denver, because you got that George Karl. But I'd lean more towards Ty Lawson.
I don't know what the Nuggets have left, man.
Don't they have Fareed still?
They got the Manimal.
They got Fareed.
That's cool and shit, but I don't know. No.
I mean, they trade. You have that Ty Lawson maybe coming back to Denver on Christmas kind of a thing.
There's instead of LA. There is no
love. Because the Clippers are going to run. I mean, we can say this now a little bit. The Clippers are going to run away with LA,
let's
right?
Let's be honest here. 76ers, Christmas Day.
I can't believe you brought up the 70s. The 76ers to me are going to be one of the 76ers
Pistons. Sexiest matchup of the year.
I read the only game I want to watch with the 76ers in it is if they're playing the Timberwolves. Because then we get to see Okafor versus.
It's the Futures
Anthony
game?
Towns. Yeah, it's the Futures game. And we get to see Tyus Jones. We get to see if Ricky Rubio is going to. Because you brought up an interesting point before we hit the record button. You asked me if I think Ricky Rubio is a Timberwolf by the end of the season.
Yeah.
I said yes, but you seem to think no.
I think there's potential there for him to be traded. I think that they've got some young talent who can be moving into the position. And Ricky Rubio's contract is going to be coming up soon. So it makes sense that they could get some value back for that if they're not going to be competing this year. They've got a lot. I cannot emphasize that enough. A lot of young talent on this team. I don't know if they're going to be a deep playoff contender this year. They probably can get the 8 seed because, hell, it's the East. But honestly, it wouldn't be devastating if they did that. Rubio, obviously known for his really great vision on the court, his very high-quality passing, I mean, that he does great job, but I'm just saying, is it worth it to keep him around when you've got this young roster coming up? He's kind of like, as weird as it sounds, say he's the old man, because he's not old at all.
No, he's not. The only thing, and here's my kind of take of why I feel like the Timberwolves will end up keeping him. I know we're kind of making a story out of nothing here.
It's the offseason. Sometimes we'll make stories out of anything we feel like it.
But the thing I think is going to happen is Rubio's going to play well with all this young talent. Tyus Jones is going to play well in a backup role. And the Timberwolves are going to think of this. They're going to say, okay, you need a good point guard, a great point guard to win in the Western Conference, to win in the NBA as a whole. If one is good, two is better. Let's just keep them both. And if they're making a run by the trade deadline, they say, screw it, let's keep it. And I'm going to say, I said this before the podcast, I'm going to say it on the podcast, if they're hashtag 8 seed balling out there, and they're like, you know what, we can make the 8 seed, we can make a run for it, Rubio stays. If it's like, you know what, we're totally out of the playoffs, we're going to be a lottery pick, let's trade him. That's how it's going to go down. Okay. That's how it flies. But some other notable games this season. So we get the opening night games, like I said, more so Cavs, Bulls, Pelicans, and the Warriors. Then we have that next night, Spurs at Thunder. That's the Spurs and Thunder's first game of their season.
Wow.
Boom. You get LaMarcus and the greatness of the Spurs, healthy Durant.
That is a fantastic matchup.
That same day, you also get Karl-Anthony Towns 1-2 against D'Angelo Russell.
1-2.
1v2, Towns and Russell.
I mean, they're never going to match up.
No.
Unless there's some crazy pick and roll shit. But
that's the game.
But, you know, I honestly like that better.
Kobe Bryant comes back. It's in LA.
Yeah, I'm a Lakers fanboy, though, sometimes. I'm allowed, you know?
No, you do. And
I really hope D'Angelo Russell pays off. I mean, I applaud them for taking the risk. Everybody's like, you got to go with the big man. It makes sense. You always go with the big traditional in the draft. And they're like, you know what? We're going to take a shot on D'Angelo Russell. He's got superstar potential written all over him. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Let's go boom or bust on this. We need to replace our aging superstar. So what better way than to give the ball over to D'Angelo Russell?
Now I'm going to go back to that Spurs-Thunder game because I'm looking at an article by Royce Young on ESPN. He said here are the 7 storylines he has for that one game.
Okay.
Number 1, Durant's likely first game back after playing only 27 games last season.
Right.
Then you have number 2, LaMarcus Aldridge's debut with the Spurs.
Yeah.
You also have Billy Donovan's debut with the Thunder as head coach.
Yeah.
Number 4, Thunder's first home game in the most important season of their era in OKC since they made the move from Seattle. Number 5 is an early measuring stick game between the two prime Western Conference contenders.
That's what I'm more curious to see is how
is OKC going to be a contender? That's
right. I want to see them return to that. More than anything, I feel like they got screwed out of it because of injuries.
The Western Conference is getting just tougher and tougher.
It's so loaded.
And the East is just getting...
I love it.
I mean, you're just going nowhere.
The East is like a dumpster fire, but every once in a while somebody throws in like a firework or something. It's just crazy.
Like, I'm looking at the playoff teams last year, and I mean, with the rules, because they didn't make a rule change about the playoffs, I feel like Dallas would get bumped, maybe the Pelicans for the Thunder. But if the NBA moved over to a, you know what, division winners don't mean a thing.
Right.
Then the Trailblazers, because they lose LaMarcus. Or even the Trailblazers anyways, because they're in the same division as the Thunder.
Yeah,
especially if the Southwest is going to be as competitive as it was last year, and we had every single one of those teams make the playoffs.
Absolutely.
But the other two storylines, the last two, number 5, Durant versus Kawhi Leonard.
That is going to be an awesome matchup.
And the last one, Russell Westbrook versus the world.
Well, so that's the thing. Coming back, Russell Westbrook having his best friend forever, stand next to him, healthy, we all hope. Where will the ball management be? Are we going to see triple-double Russell Westbrook? We see, you know, 40, 10, and 12.
That relationship's been interesting, the Westbrook-Durant, because at times I've kind of felt like they want to be Batman and Robin.
Yeah, but however, they both want to be Batman.
I feel like Westbrook wants to be Batman.
Yep.
And Durant just knows I'm Batman. It's more of a, and this is my comic book nerd coming out in me, Westbrook is the perfect Dick Grayson.
He is.
He's going to brand, and this is why I feel like if Batman goes be Batman somewhere else, Westbrook's going to say, fuck it, I'm not Robin. I'm going and I'm just going to be Nightwing somewhere.
Even if
Durant stays, he'll just say, screw it, I'm going to go be Nightwing and be the man.
I love the analogy. I don't agree wholeheartedly, though.
If Durant stays, he stays.
I feel like they're both going to stay. I mean, I kept leaning. I was like, well, but Washington, hometown.
This is a huge if with a capital I, capital F.
If one leaves, the other
leaves. Durant leaves, they both leave.
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah, it's abandoned ship then. It's go find the best talent available in free agency.
Billy Donovan. I thought I was going to say Donovan Young for something. I don't know why. Unless Billy Donovan strikes a relationship with Westbrook and Westbrook goes, I can be with him. I can do this with him. I can be his Batman.
I don't know.
Commissioner Gordon style. That's what
I
needs to happen.
I want to see how this offense runs with Enes Kanter there, with Durant. I feel like that's going to stretch out the floor pretty well.
About the bigs in that game. You've got Kanter, Ibaka, yep. LaMarcus, Timmy D.
Kawhi.
And it's the second day of the season.
Kawhi. And there. Oh, my God. Yeah. No, I'm thrilled. I love the start of the season because everybody should be healthy. We get to see the best matchups right off the bat. The NBA gets it, and they hit you hard with the opening day with that Hawks-Pistons matchup.
And see, this is another thing. Day three of the season.
Okay.
We get the first DeAndre Jordan game.
Okay.
Mavericks at LA.
There we go.
To play the Clippers.
There we go. Will Cuban cry in a corner?
No. Cuban will come out and be like, man, he's a fucking idiot. He'll come out and say that.
JaVale McGee and JaVale McGee's mother and then sitting courtside.
That same game, that same day, this is October 29th still.
Yeah.
Hawks at Knicks. Why, if you want the Hawks to play on the first day,
everybody wants to see the Knicks.
Why not just say, you know what, we'll do Hawks at Knicks and then Pistons at Hawks will be the 29th.
Pistons Hawks would be a great middle of the week game. That's all I'm saying.
It's not one you put on opening night.
Everyone's curious about the Knicks because everybody wants to see
Porzingis.
They want to see if Melo can function in the triangle.
Yep.
Everybody's going to be healthy. I can't say that enough
this
times.
Mystical,
I'm sorry. I'm repeating myself on that one.
Bermuda triangle known as the Phil Jackson triangle.
And that's the thing is like, we want to see if Phil's right or wrong. And, you know, the answer isn't going to happen the first night, but we all want to see it. We're all curious to see, is Derek Fisher just a pawn? Yeah, probably.
A little bit.
Probably.
October 30th, we get Warriors at Rockets.
That'll be a fun matchup again.
That's the finals rematch. Then November 2nd, Thunder at Rockets. Clippers and Warriors get their first matchup on November 4th. Then we get another one. Thunder Wizards is going to be big on November 10th.
Yeah.
It's your birthday. So on your birthday, you get
so
to
much.
See Thunder Wizards.
That's
your birthday
fun.
Gift to you from the NBA.
Thanks, NBA. Appreciate it.
November 11th, though, day after, this would have been the better present to you. Spurs at Portland, LaMarcus's homecoming.
I mean, I don't think it'll be that big of a deal because, like, Portland filled in the roster with a bunch of, no offense, scrubs.
But it's just for the homecoming
factor. We're
going to
see if Rondo is, like, you know, going to punch a player
You're going to see if Lillard can just carry the team all by himself.
It ain't going to happen.
But
no, what I want to see is where's the Bulls game? Where's the hometown favorite? Give me the best hometown favorite for
Bulls,
me.
We have Bulls Thunder on Christmas.
Yeah, that's pretty sexy.
But for them, I'm going to pull up their actual just schedule.
Okay.
To see what we got. Because I was just going down the list of ESPN article just by day.
Yep.
We start the season with Cleveland. Then we go, here's an interesting thing. I know the big thing everyone's talking about is that back-to-back games. The NBA went from, I think last year there was 578 of them. This year there's a 7% decrease, and there's going to be 535 back-to-back games. However, the Bulls play back-to-back. We play on Tuesday to start the season, October 28th at home. Mm-hmm. Then we got to go to Brooklyn on Wednesday.
Ooh. But it's Brooklyn, so.
It's Brooklyn, so who cares?
Exactly.
Other games I'm looking at, November 5th. I mean, we see the Thunder on Christmas, but we actually see them November 5th for the first time.
Nice.
So, I mean, That may be, for me, that may be, okay, let's look at that a little bit better.
That's the measuring stick.
Christmas, we're in full swing. Right. I mean, we play Golden State in late November. We play at Portland. And I'm trying to look Eastern Conference-wise. We play at New York to play the Knicks on the 19th.
Wonderful.
Early on, though, I mean, we get Cleveland, Brooklyn, Detroit, Orlando, Charlotte, OKC, Minnesota, Philly.
Yeah.
Besides Oklahoma and Cleveland, if we can win those games, teams maybe, or people may be saying, are the Bulls for real under Fred Hoiberg?
And then,
are they for real?
And then Derrick Rose breaks another leg.
We see our first Spurs on November 30th.
All right, then that'd be a good matchup.
But looking into it, I'm just
the question is, how do we end?
What's
our last three? Series?
Our last three games.
Yeah.
April 9th at home against Cleveland.
Oh, there we go.
Then the 11th on the road at New Orleans. That next Wednesday, 2 days later, at home against the 76ers.
Okay, so it's like playoff team. Nice sigh of relief to end the season. I'm okay with that. Thanks, NBA.
If we go before that, the 7th, we're at Miami. This is before that Cleveland game. At Miami, at Memphis, at Milwaukee.
Hmm.
The three before that Cleveland game to me are more important than the last three.
Well, it's always interesting to see the way you end out season.
On the road, on the road.
Yeah. I just think it's how you finish out the season matters a lot. I mean, we've seen teams go on runs at the end of the year, and they take it in the playoffs, and they absolutely just keep wrecking.
You know what's a weird back-to-back for us?
Hmm.
March 23rd, we play at home against the Knicks. Mm-hmm. Then that next day, we're in Madison Square Garden to play the Knicks. So both teams just travel from Chicago to New York together.
That'd be cool if they could share planes.
Taking the same plane.
I'm pretty sure they each have team planes, but like,
The Bulls are like, screw it. You get to go and coach Phil. We're taking first class.
That'd be awkward.
But I'm saying from March 28th all the way to the end of the season, Atlanta, Indy's kind of eh. The Rockets, easy Detroit, on the road for Bucks, Grizz, Heat, home Cavs, away Pelicans, easy 76ers.
Yeah, no, I think it's
that's gonna be a rough end of the schedule. Except for like the Pistons, yeah. Maybe Pacers, because I mean Pacers did some stuff.
Who knows where the Pacers will be at the end of this year. I think Paul George will recover nicely.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It's all about that supporting cast now. No, I think it'll be interesting. The what you brought up earlier though about the shift of schedule, mm-hmm. trying to avoid the multiple games.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that's nice that they're doing it, but I guess the thing is,
the big thing is the four games in five nights.
Right.
We had 69 games like that last year, 27. So that's like almost a 60% decrease.
Exactly. I think that's
from last
huge.
Year.
That's absolutely huge because the NBA season is so compacted down that people are like, they take it for granted, mm-hmm. but there's so many injuries. Pulling your body through that for all those minutes every single night, and then you're on a plane the end of that night or the next morning, and you're playing again.
This was the NBA saying, okay, we can either do one of two things. We can take away the four games in two nights and keep the full schedule like we have now, or we can just say, screw it. We love the four games in five nights, but we're going to do it where NBA starts on Christmas.
Well,
and we have that lockout shortened season. Where you can just shorten the season, but because it's shorter, okay, we can do things like four games in five nights.
Yeah. So honestly, I wish that they would start on Christmas Day. I like the shorter season, but you need to
like
cut
the
games.
Lockout
you can't,
season.
Yeah, but I feel like you got cut games. Like
you can cut the fat. There are definitely games where it's like, screw it, we can cut the fat.
Exactly. I don't think anyone would miss some of those NBA games. I feel like leaning out the season,
like, I don't
making
think
it
as a
from.
Bull, as a Bulls fan, I would not miss Bulls Kings at home.
Yeah, there's just stinkers out there, and that's fine. That's cool. You got to pad out the schedule sometimes, but let's be honest, that Christmas start is just phenomenal. Like you can't come close to that.
And I'm looking other just interesting things. Strength of schedule based off this new with the new back to backers,
basically for rest.
The top five teams: 5 is the Kings, 4 is the Magic, 3 is the Blazers, 2 is the Wizards. Bucks at number one.
Yeah.
So those are the five easiest schedules off of the amount of like back-to-back games, home back-to-backers, road back-to-backers, that kind of a thing.
So it'll definitely help out a lot. Those are some younger teams, though, to be fair. So, I mean, they might not be feeling as much. If like, San Antonio got a lot of that, I mean, that would be a little biased, maybe. But
top three teams with the most mileage this season. This is a fun fact for you. Blazers at 3, T-Wolves at 2, Golden State number 1.
I mean, you go coast to coast. That makes the most sense. The T-Wolves who knows?
The Blazers only are not the Blazers. The Warriors only make 58 trips. The T-Wolves are making 64 trips, though.
Yeah.
So how's a team in the Midwest making more trips?
Because who knows? Adam Silver hates them secretly. I don't know, but the reason behind that is the champions make sense because you want to bring them around to everywhere. You get the most packed stadiums by doing that.
Yeah.
So that's a smart move, but I don't understand the Timberwolves at all.
Anything else you want to talk about with the schedule, with this NBA schedule?
I do not. I feel like we've covered it pretty well.
Last thing I want to bring up, and this is how we'll close the podcast. Big news for our division, the Eastern Conference Central Division. LeBron James this week said, hey, you know what? Cavs' number one priority is locking down Tristan Thompson.
Are you surprised at all that he has not signed yet?
Kind of, not really, because here's the thing. The Cavs, I feel like, want to lowball him and say, this is what you're worth. He's saying, fuck you, we won a championship, pay me my money. Or pay me what
win a championship.
Or they went to the finals. Pay me my money, what I think I'm worth.
Right. He's trying to get all his cash based off of his playoff performance, which was very impressive. No denying that.
Kind of like if we're going to pay JR off of his playoff performance.
Oh, my God. I just love the way JR went out. He's like, screw it. Jacking up threes. JR time. But no, it's his regular season performance was not super impressive. It was average. He was definitely a contributor, but he wasn't anybody who was, you know, making nice plays.
When the talks between the two, Thompson and the Cavs broke off, this is what Thompson was looking for. 5-year max deal worth $94 million.
Yeah, I feel like that's reaching a whole lot for a limited player. Let's be fair. He is a down and dirty defender, rebounder, and he has a okay close range shot. He's like a poor man's Ron Artest, Dennis Rodman kind of style player. And, you know, he emulates them. He said he grew up watching them and he loved it. And he's absolutely passionate about being like, he'll go 1v4 under the hoop for that rebound. And he comes down with it most of the time. I just don't feel like that's worth a max contract in today's NBA.
And I mean, Thompson's, according to the Brian Windhorst article that I'm looking at, and I quote, Thompson's agent, Rich Paul, said Thompson will not play for the Cavs after this upcoming season if the team forces him to accept the 1-year qualifying offer of $6.8 million.
Yeah, I feel like they can find some mid-ground between a max contract and $6.8
million. I just don't get why
he's like a $10 million player.
I get that you played well in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But how are you worth a max deal? I just don't get that.
He's not. The problem,
I just don't get it.
Max deals is one of the biggest problems in the NBA today. Because of the salary cap restrictions, because of all the cash games that go around, you get players out there who are getting max deals who really don't deserve it.
It's just, I had a great season. This team's going to pay me.
Because your alternative is you're going to lose your star. And it's like, dude, you're not really, like, let's look at max deals. Do you think yours goes to LeBron James? Do you think you're good as, you know, any of these top tier players? But you're getting paid like it. So it's like, what the fuck is going on here?
I'm looking at the salaries. That's why,
like, as stupid as baseball is, like, you got to go like with something somewhere closer to the NFL or baseball. I think the NFL really has a good with their,
baseball doesn't, the biggest thing about baseball, they don't have a cap.
Right.
You have football where it has a cap and it moves every year. Right. And it's just, I got to stay
but
within
I feel like,
that cap.
With I feel the like NBA, football you is have, better because it's by position. You can kind of like grade it out.
Yeah. And I mean, with the NBA, you have a soft cap, a hard cap. You have teams where this isn't one thing when I was little.
Yeah.
And I bought like my first NBA game and you go through the franchise and you're learning as a kid how to like manage players in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy for football. I can't go over this amount.
Right.
In baseball, I have this is my budget. I can't exceed that. where I'd look at teams in my basketball game and go, wait a second, the cap is here, but I'm up here. How am I over it?
Yep.
That's what I never got as a kid.
I feel
why am I over the cap?
I feel like paying top money to people who don't deserve it. It's ridiculous, but it's part of the game as we know it today.
So
something's got to change.
Basically, after doing the math,
Thomas
is looking for a contract, or Thompson is looking for a contract equal to Kyrie.
Yeah.
Kyrie's got a 5-year, $94.3 million contract.
Yeah, no.
Whereas K Love's got 113 mil over five, and LeBron's got, he's got the 46 over two with the option, but that's because he wants to skyrocket when the cap goes up next season.
Smart. No, I think,
but he's still making 23. He's still making the most average salary.
Right.
So Thompson wants basically a Kyrie to be, it'd be just below Kyrie by like 0.3 million. But he wants to be the fourth highest paid player on the Cavs. Shump's only making 10 mil this year.
I think 10 mil is probably about same right as, for Thompson.
Same is Varejao, 10 mil.
The fact that Varejao, that's just a bad contract.
Timothy Mozgov is under them. He's making 4.6 mil.
Well, yeah, but he was still on an early contract where he hadn't got a chance to prove himself.
So Thompson's looking for an increase from 4.2 to 18.2. Yeah, million
he
ain't
worth that. They'll meet somewhere in the middle, like 12, I hope, for their sake.
No, he's really, I think what's like going to happen is, since we're getting close to the season, he's going to be forced to sign that 6.8 qualifying offer.
Wow.
And then he'll just say, screw it, I'm leaving after next season.
Entirely possible.
Unless he signs the qualifying offer and during the season they work something out. But I feel if he signs that offer, it's fucking, I'm done.
Yeah, if you were going to get a contract based off your playoff performance, like Dellavedova would have got a max contract after shutting down Steph Curry in game one. Like, they would have just made it rain for him. That's it. You walk out. Like,
Dellavedova has a 1-year contract.
Exactly, worth like nothing.
1.1.
Yeah.
He's 1.2 if we wanted to round up.
He's gritty.
Yeah.
That's what he brings.
And he has a 1-year deal.
And he doesn't deserve more. Deal. He knows his place. No, that's fine.
And he played great in the playoffs. I mean, this is just, I don't know why he wants that much. I don't get it. JR had the best. It's like, you know what? Screw it. If you're not going to give me the money, I'm gone. But I know that I only want to get paid off of my playoff experience. Is there anything that you want to talk about before we wrap this up and send it home?
I feel like we're good here. I think we've succeeded in filling some more of that NBA offseason. Mm-hmm. Gave you guys our thoughts on the regular season.
And the schedule soon.
Yeah.
One quick question. We don't have to go far into this. This is just a random thing I saw. Thoughts on the Globetrotters dropping the Rivals and the Generals as their opponent? Yeah.
What? You can't do that.
Yep. The Globetrotters are dropping the Generals as their main rival.
How is that a thing? Who do they play now?
I don't know.
I have so many questions.
Your childhood is just like at risk now?
Yeah. What is going on?
Yeah. They're dropping the Generals as their main rival for the upcoming season. I hope they're just going to
like take a new name and same people.
The same people, but a new name?
Yeah, screw it. Give them a different team name.
Just thought I'd throw that out there for you, Dave. But that's going to do it.
Thanks for ending on a down note.
Right. Yeah, I had to. Well, we're going to, I couldn't say,
please,
like,
Internet, answer my questions. What is going on with this?
Well, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I don't know when Dave's going to show up. But the next podcast we will do that you can expect from the Fast Break will be our divisional previews here. I see your finger, Dave. It's okay. Show up and I won't say it.
Yeah.
But we'll get into our divisional previews. Get ready for the NBA season. Late September, early October, we'll probably have MVP talk. That's when everything will start hopefully getting heated up in the culture and more. If you like the podcast, go ahead, hit that like button. If you loved it, hit the subscribe button. I'm on Twitter at Ricky Widmer. Dave's not on Twitter, but Most Valuable Podcast is at Most Valuable Pod. Make sure you comment in the comment section down below. Click the link in the description to reserve your MVP t-shirt to help out the YouTube channel and the podcast. Thank you guys for listening this evening, day, night, whatever it is by you. But as always, have a good day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this MVP podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Most Valuable Pod for more great podcasts.